This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bend. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Nolan will play them for you. Also, get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that in the last segment of the show. Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is John Mioli. He covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Banner. John, what's going on?
Not much. How's everything going with you guys?
Not bad, man. Appreciate your time this morning. And we usually look, I don't want to say look forward to, but we anticipate on the first day of spring training and when you get to talk to the GM, hearing about some injury-related news. This year, especially compared to years past, wasn't the worst. Jorge Mateo won't be ready for opening day, which isn't a surprise there. But Trevor Rogers apparently injuring his knee in January, and he's a guy that it seemed like the organization was still holding out hope for to, in some way, shape, or form, help this team out at some point this season after acquiring him at the deadline last year. What do you think this injury does to any momentum Trevor Rogers may have had?
Yeah, it obviously halts, the near-term momentum. I know that, you know, when he got to the organization, he was not, his best self in a lot of ways. I know there was a lot of work that went into getting his delivery where they wanted to be, getting his body where they wanted to be. It's unfortunate to suffer an injury like this and delay your season in a weird way. It might actually, you know, be a good thing because he was realistically not going to make this rotation. He's not going to make this team coming out of spring training. And for somebody who's making a couple million dollars, it's a weird place to be in if you're, you know, if you're in AAA and you're trying to, you know, he might not even be the best lefty in the AAA rotation if Kate Povich ends up in there. So it could, in a weird way, be like, all right, you weren't going to make this team anyways. Now you're not going to because you're hurt, you're behind. Like, do whatever you need to do to get yourself right. Make sure that you are the best version of yourself when you come back and present yourself in a way that you didn't get a chance to last year. So, you know, I'm sure he did not. He was not thinking that as he, you know, hurt his knee as he's getting ready for the season. I'm sure that was not an early thought, but it might be a thought now. Like, all right, this is unfortunate, but this is an opportunity to kind of reset and make sure I am ready when the time comes.
Hey, John, when you get down there, what's the first thing that you're going to be looking at when you get over to the field?
I really enjoy going. I enjoy going to where they have like a set of six bullpen mounts. And at this time of year, as guys are kind of working on stuff, you know, this is like really in the weeds, but like the way they like move their glove as they're about to pitch, like throw it, is like indicative of like what pitch is going to be. And like, that's where you can learn in the moment about like who added pitches during the off season. I was standing right next to Dean Kramer last year and he made the changeup sign and told the catcher, like, actually, this is a splitter now. And, you know, you learn that Dean Kramer's throwing a splitter, and it's a pitch that he, you know, stuck with all through spring training and became a weapon as the season went on. I think it was really valuable to see that. So that's where you can find me when I'm down there next week.
We're talking to John Mioli, who covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And John, we also saw today that it looks like Heston Kjerstad is going to get every opportunity to earn a spot on this major league team. And it seems like there's going to be a lot of platooning in the outfield this year. Neither of those are surprises. But what do you make of the outlook for Heston Kjerstad? Because a lot will be put on his plate, and as well as the other outfielders' plate, with Anthony Santander and his 40-plus home runs now going to Toronto.
Yeah, I think Heston Kjerstad is long overdue for this opportunity he's going to get. And truthfully, last June and July, he was getting this opportunity. He came before he suffered the concussion that he did in July. He was playing more often than Austin Hayes was, as kind of that third three and a half outfielder, if you don't want to call him a fourth outfielder. He was playing a lot, and he had an OPS over 1,000 in that like 3-4 week span. You look at that and you say, okay, this is a guy who's hitting his stride. This is a guy who is ready for this opportunity. And then he suffers a concussion and his season never really got back on track. I've always, I think since he returned to action after the long layoff post draft with his heart condition, I think he's kind of just always been a masher. There's a difference between a guy who can steadily produce and a guy who, we talk about Anthony Santander, he could get hot and carry the Orioles for weeks at a time. Like, that's a level that we need to see Heston Kjerstad get to if he's going to be that kind of producer. But nothing that he's, there's no evidence that he can't be that. And in this, regular opportunity he's going to get is going to be a really nice platform to see if he can do that.
What do you think about Adley Rutschman? What are you hoping to see differently? Do you think his swing is a little different, or what is going to be the difference in Adley compared to what he had the last half of the season, how bad he was?
I think there's going to be some swing stuff that he's inevitably going to do. This is somebody who's very in tune with both of his swings, his left-handed and right-handed swing, and knows what he needs to do to be successful with them. I'm just looking for him to, like, I think you're not going to be able to see it in spring training games because these moments aren't going to matter even a little bit. But, like, when we get to the end of March, early April, and he comes up in some big moments that, truthfully, he let himself down and by virtue of that let the team down with his performance, in those big moments in the second half, like, he just needs the opportunity to get back out there and show that he can do it. I mean, there was a time when he rose to the occasion every single time, it was presented to him. And that's a hard standard to live up to, but he's capable of it. And I think you saw last year that, like, this Orioles team goes as he goes. There were a lot of absences and factors in the offensive performance that led them to be what they were in the second half. But, like, to me, it still came down to, like, if Adley Rutschman was Adley Rutschman, a lot of those things are easier to deal with. And I feel reasonably confident that he's going to be back to himself this year.
John, a lot of focus has been put on this starting rotation this year with the exit of Corbin Burnes and not really going out there to replace him. I know they added Sagano, they added Charlie Morton to this rotation, but obviously they didn't acquire that big-time ace that they were hoping to acquire this offseason, which puts Grayson Rodriguez at the top of this rotation. And I'm honestly excited to see what Grayson does with this opportunity, because this was kind of the outlook for him when he was drafted to be this ace. Maybe not this year, but that's just the way that the situation has unfolded. What are you hoping to see from Grayson to cement himself as the future ace of this ball club?
Yeah, I think that if he is able to make 30 starts this year, he will be one of the I haven't thought about a number. He will be one of the seven best starters in the American League if he makes 30 starts this year. That is the kind of quality of stuff he has. That is the kind of overpowering nature that he has. And I think that the only thing that stopped him from being able to do that consistently has been his ability to be on the mound. There's been kind of these recurring shoulder issues that have made it hard for him to do that. But I think that, given what he's learned over the last couple of years, given how he's started to attack hitters, given what he is at his best, if he's able to pitch every 5 days for 6 months, he will consistently learn how to be his best and be more efficient, and that will lead to him being the type of guy that the Orioles want. I think there's a lot of candidates. This is a rotation that's built to get through a season, and if you have a healthy Grayson Rodriguez at the end of the season, and Zach Eflin's kind of that steady top half guy. And then you have Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells who can be, you know, fresh down the stretch. You could have ultimately have that top end guy that you're looking for without having gone out and spent for it.
Hey, John, who's the guy you think is going to be a guy that you may be not counting on now that takes a huge jump that kind of surprises everybody?
Gosh, I mean, I don't want to say Heston Kerstad. I think that's kind of an obvious answer, but I think that the Orioles will, you know, I think they'll definitely get the, you know, the 815 or whatever OPS that Anthony Santander left behind. I don't know if it'll be 44 home runs, but it's pretty hard to, you know, have only like an 8-something OPS with 44 home runs. I think he'll help them outperform in that stretch. And honestly, Jackson Holliday, like, nobody really knows what they're going to get from him. It feels incredibly unlikely that Jackson Holliday is not, you know, a good to very good second baseman for this team. And we're talking about somebody at that point who will be batting like eighth. And when you can have one of the best young players in baseball batting eighth in your lineup, you're talking about a really good lineup.
John, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. What you got going on over at the Banner?
Oh, you know, I tried to make some sense of this offseason now that it seems like it's finally over. I equated it to, like, if you have a plate of cupcakes and, like, a couple of them don't have frosting, like, you're not going to be happy with it, but you have to eat a cupcake.
I don't like frosting on mine.
Hey, so this is the offseason for you. This is great.
Right.
I said every parent who's ever been to a birthday party and eaten the rest of the cupcake that your kids lick the frosting off knows what I'm talking about, and I think we got another example, too. Some people just don't like frosting, so I like that.
Appreciate your time, John.
Thanks, John.
Hopefully we get to talk to you again down the line.
Yeah, I'll catch up soon.
Enjoy the trip.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports last night. The Wizards get a win, so that's something that doesn't happen very often. We'll talk about that. We'll look at what went on in the hockey world, and it looks like the Jets have made an official decision on Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
It's sorrow. See, I can first.
Back out to Todd. Halliburton, a step back three. Good! It's a three-point lead.
Yeah, that's huge there.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Behind the glass, you just heard that audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports. Pacers ended up beating the Wizards 134-130 in overtime. I had turned this game off because I had actually, if you listened to me and Ben's show last night, I actually took the Pacers to cover the 10-point spread, and the Wizards were up all game. I mean, they at one point had a 15-20-point lead, and I just stopped watching. And long behold, I find out in the break that the Pacers ended up winning in overtime 134-130. Tyrese Halliburton hits that three. He gets 20 points on the night. Obi Toppin, 31 points off the bench for the Pacers. Benedict Mathurin, 28 points off the bench for the Pacers as well. Jordan Poole did have 42 points in the loss. Corey Kispert, 21 off the bench for the Wizards. So, I mean, I guess the Wizards, it's a win for them because they were entertaining and they still ended up losing this game ultimately, which is what they want to do these days. The Celtics, they ended up beating the Spurs 116-103, Thunder 115-101 in comeback fashion over Miami, Nets 100-96 over the Sixers. The Knicks squeak one out in overtime over the Hawks. Trae Young, I think, scored 6 points, 6 or 8 points in 7 seconds in that game, but it wasn't enough.
Missed the game winner.
Yeah, missed the game winner. Knicks ended up winning 149-148. Carl Anthony Towns, 44 points, 10 rebounds. Trae Young, 38 points, 19 assists in the loss. He leads the league in assists, by the way. We had some NFL news break not too long ago, right before we went to commercial. Looks like the Jets, and we've been hearing about this for the last couple of weeks, that the Jets were entertaining moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Looks like they have made a decision, a statement from Woody Johnson, and also from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mogi, the new GM. Jets basically saying that they've decided to part ways with Aaron Rodgers. He'll most likely be a post-June 1 cut. the Jets face $49 million in dead money when they eventually release Aaron Rodgers. As a June 1 cut, though, they carry his $23.5 million cap hit until June 1st. And when it drops to $14 million, they'll save $9.5 million. However, they'd absorb the $35 million cap hit in 2026.
Well, the thing about it, they're in a rebuild. And they're going to probably draft a quarterback or have an inexpensive quarterback. So that $23 million, you know, I mean, it's not what you want, but it's easier for them to take this year so they can kind of start ramping up.
Is he done? Do you think he plays next year?
I mean, that's a weird dude, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would not be shocked if he did, and I would not be shocked if he didn't.
I think it depends on who calls. I've seen Pittsburgh is going to be attached to any quarterback these days.
Raiders.
But that one I question just because they're not ready to win right now. And they have, you know, with the draft pick that they have, they'll go get a quarterback. These days, you're starting quarterbacks from right away. And sure, let's say they go get Shador, him sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, you could do way worse than that.
Yeah, for a year? That would be a bad thing.
You could do way worse than that. I just wonder if Rodgers is going to the Raiders, considering, like I said, they don't have the pieces ready to win right now. I don't know what he wants. Like you said, he's a weird dude. He could wake up tomorrow and say, you know, he wants to play for a team like the Raiders or something like that, maybe go to Cleveland. I don't know, but
I would say Cleveland would not be one. Pittsburgh, you know, because they have a good defense and mm-hmm. they want to run. Because he needs to go. When you're 40-something, having a team that runs the ball, that right. helps you out, you know, and it helps, especially when you don't move around as well.
I also see here, just because we just mentioned Travis Hunter, looks like he will attend the scouting combine. What? No, I don't know. This is from Underdog NFL Colorado. Oh, that's Travis Hunter. Okay, yeah, he'll be at the scouting combine as a cornerback, so I don't know if he'll work out as a receiver. We'll see. Let's go to the ice. NHL, they're in their all-star break right now. So they're doing something that I kind of wish that the NBA would adopt, and they're having the countries compete against each other. Last night, you had Canada against Sweden. Canada ended up winning in overtime 4-3.
Yeah, it was the Four Nations mm-hmm. is what they call it, and it's usually six nations because Russia and Belarus are not allowed mm-hmm. right now. So that's why the Caps, and we talked about it off air, the Caps have the second best record in hockey. They're 10 points up in the Metro. They have nobody in this game. Nobody. Which, you know what, in the big picture, because I think it's a 10-day break, in the big picture, it's actually going to benefit the Caps. Yeah. Because, like, I can't remember who it was, but there was a dude from Canada that got hurt last night, and he's going to be out a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you got nobody playing in the game, nobody can get hurt. So that's a good thing. And tonight, USA plays Finland. One of the big things for U.S. is Quinn Hughes, probably their best defenseman, is out with injury, and he's not playing tonight. So that'll be tough for U.S. I mean, watching Canada with McDavid and Crosby and they had so much speed. They're so fast that they dominated that first period last night. And some of the passing, Crosby had 3 assists. He was number one star of the game. It was pretty cool to watch. And if it's on ESPN tonight at 8:00, and it's all the stars of every country, so it's a good watch if you really, you know, want to take a look and see what hockey's all about. Let me mention one other thing: Craig Laughlin, the announcer for the Caps, mm-hmm. who we talked about, you know, had heart surgery a week ago Tuesday. Locker's doing good. I saw it on Facebook. He had a picture of him at home. He was in the hospital. He had the same surgery I had, and Locker's doing good. I texted him. I said, make sure you're walking and going up and down them steps and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, good luck to Locker. He'll be back, I'm guessing. He'll probably be back within a month, probably doing on-air games again.
Nice. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to some baseball. Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio, he joins us as pitchers and catchers have reported all across the league. We'll get his thoughts on this upcoming season next here on The Fan. with Quick Draw. See what you guys are talking about on the text line right now. We're joined by Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio. He joins us on the Window Nation fan guest hotline. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. Geez, if I knew it was music requests, I would have come armed. I love music. I'd throw out Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar, but maybe that one's a little too hot right now. We should move on.
Well, we had Maryland's athletic director on earlier, and that was his request. So we did get that one in. But hey, if another one pops in your mind before the end of the segment, definitely let us know, and we'll put that in the rotation for you for sure.
Excellent. I'll do that.
So, you know, obviously we're just like everybody else getting ready for baseball season. Pitchers and catchers reported yesterday, got to hear from the GM and the manager earlier today. We'll play some of that audio later. But here in Baltimore, obviously it's a daunting task being in the AL East, and at least here locally, not a lot of people overly impressed with what the Orioles offseason looked like, especially when you compare it to what some of the other teams in the division were able to do this offseason. How do you stack the AL East as it looks right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. It's a dogfight. Of course, the Red Sox just signed Alex Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
So they get stronger. But, you know, I mean, clearly, you know, and I don't have to tell you guys this, that, you know, the Orioles and their baseball ops team is putting all their eggs in the basket with these young guys. And obviously they're talented. And I think they're going to, you know, be fine. Obviously the worries are they kind of went out in the second half last year. Now, hopefully from Baltimore's perspective, that's one of those learning experiences for the young guys who, you know, it takes a while to learn how to get through a 162-game season, especially with expectations raised mm-hmm. as they were last year in Baltimore. It's one thing to slog your way through 162 when you're losing, but, you know, when you're young, up-and-coming team and expected to win, I'm going to get through 162. You know, you don't get – other teams don't send, you know, go halfway out at you. You know, I don't want to say – the Orioles were good enough. They had a target on their backs all last year, but they kind of did, and they got most people's A game. And, you know, second half didn't go well, and so their challenge this year is going to be to fix that and be consistent all the way through. Obviously, losing, you know, Corbin Burns is going to hurt. You know, Zach Eflin, you know, is coming off a good year. You know, obviously Grayson Rodriguez. But, you know, they need a lot of things to go right. I would have liked to see the Orioles spend a little more money and bring in, be it a free agent pitcher or somebody. You know, they're ripe. A team that's ripe to bring in a veteran with playoff experience, a guy that, you know, almost like Carlos Beltran was for the Astros a few years ago when the Astros were young. You know, it really helps. The learning curve, especially coming off what I said the second half last year, to bring in somebody. Now, Charlie Morton, I like a lot. He can be that guy for the pitchers. And the thing with him is I think he could really help the team. But at 41 years old, the big question with him is, you know, the natural one. Is he going to stay on the field all summer and avoid injury?
Now, Scott, what about in the West – in the National League, is it the Dodgers and everybody else? Just because, well, it is financially, that's for sure.
It is, and I think on the field too. I just, it's hard not to see the Dodgers winning the division with ease for a couple of reasons. One, obviously they spend so much money, but there's nobody smarter in the game right now. Andrew Friedman and his baseball operations staff, yeah, they really built not just a juggernaut financially, but they really have a great culture of winning in that clubhouse. All the players buy in. There's not any selfish guys. They've won before. They want to win more. I mean, when you have Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman as two of your centerpieces, it's hard to go wrong, let alone, you know, Ohtani and all the talent. But the other reason that I think the Dodgers – are the team to beat easily is not just the money they spent, but in how smartly they spent it, playing off what I just said. And they've really got a ton of depth. I mean, you know, from the lineup, you saw they added Tommy Edman at the trade deadline that last year. And then he was the MVP during the NLCS. That's an example of both smart depth building and the culture I was talking about. Tommy Edman coming from St. Louis. I mean, he's a total team guy. And, you know, now you go to the pitching, and their starters the past couple of years were banged up. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Last year, the Sunday before the All-Star break, the Dodgers pitching was so beat up. They called somebody up in the minor leagues. Dave Roberts had not even met the guy yet, and he went and called him in the game and let him finish it like the seventh inning on. That's not going to be the case this year. I mean, you know, they signed Blake Snell. Clayton Kershaw just resigned. I mean, he's down on the depth chart now, but he'll help. Tyler Glass now, he's another guy. Can he stay healthy? You guys saw him so much at AL East, and it was the same thing last year. He couldn't pitch more than 120 innings, but they've got young guys like Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin that have been out the last year and a half with Tommy John. They're coming back. You know, they signed Roki Sasaki, of course. So their depth, also in the bullpen, that's the reason I say this team, they're already talking in L.A. about breaking Seattle's 2001 record of 116 wins. Players aren't talking about that because they just don't talk. They play, and they keep their eyes on the prize. But a lot of media in L.A. is like, could they win 116? Could they win 120? Stay tuned.
We're talking to Scott Miller from MLB Radio Network. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And, Scott, I've been trying to figure out what teams that were just on the cusp of, you know, making the postseason last year can be one of those surprise teams this year. And I can't help but continue to look at Arizona with the offseason that they had. They bring in Corbin Burnes. They bring in Josh Naylor from Cleveland. They already have Corbin Carroll out there. I mean, I thought that team was really good last year and just didn't have enough to, down the stretch to make up for some of their early season issues. But what do you make of the Diamondbacks and the type of season that they could have?
Yeah, I like your pick there. They are really talented, and they've made some really good moves. And speaking of young teams learning how to win, you know, 2 years ago, the Diamondbacks stunned us all by running the table in the National League and playing Texas in the World Series. And now, last year, they had the disappointing season, and they really took a long time to get started. So I think they're going to learn from that experience over the last 2 years. And I think they're going to come into spring training this year more focused. You know, we didn't get where we wanted to go last year. And I also misspoke. Arizona played Houston a couple years ago. That was the anyway, we'll move on. But I think the last two years they've really learned. You know, they didn't do what they wanted to do last year. I think they'll be more focused this spring, and they'll work on the things that were missing last year. And I look for a really good season out of Arizona. One other thing about the Diamondbacks, you know, 2 years ago, Corbin, the center fielder, was the most valuable player of their team. I want to say Corbin Burnes because I'm thinking of, you know, I'm thinking of Baltimore, but
Corbin Carroll.
Thank you. 2 years ago, he was great. Last year, his first half of the season was miserable. I mean, that guy was hitting about 120 at the All-Star break, and that's not him. He's a legit great player, but I think he was pressing to start last year coming off their winning year of the year before. I think he felt too much pressure. Second half of the year, after the All-Star break, he turned it on. He had a great second half. And, you know, Diamondbacks made a nice run and almost got to the playoffs but couldn't, and a lot of that was based on Corbin Carroll's turnaround. And I think he's in for a big year this year. I don't look for him to struggle half a year like he did last year.
Hey, Scott, of the division winners this past year, the Yankees, the Guardians, the Astros, the Phillies, the Dodgers, and my buddy Murph's team, the Brewers, who's going to fall off amongst those teams?
You know, speaking of Arizona that we were just talking about, you know, Cleveland lost his first baseman, Josh Naylor. He's now first baseman in Arizona. He had 30-some home runs. He was a big part of that Cleveland offense last year. you know, Cleveland hasn't spent much money, and I think they overachieved last year. No disrespect. That's a great franchise. It's well run. And kudos to Stephen Vogt in his first year replacing Terry Francona there. But I think we're going to see some change in the American League Central. And interestingly, the, you know, Baseball Prospectus PECOTA projections came out the other day, and they have the Twins winning the division. And, you know, I could see that. The Twins, like the Diamondbacks, had a miserable second half. Well, I should say like Corbin Carroll and the Diamondbacks in the first half. The Twins had the miserable second half last year, and they were in line for a playoff spot, and they just cratered. And even at the end of the year, manager Rocco Baldelli said, I personally have to go home and do some soul searching, looking in the mirror, because this is on all of us. And as the manager, it's, you know, it's on me too. And that they had an epic collapse, one of the worst in Twins history. I think they'll get the ship righted and figure some things out. And I can see a change of guard in the American League Central. Plus, Detroit's come on. Remember, Detroit made the playoffs last year as a wild card. And, you know, that Tyler Skubal won the unanimously Cy Young Award. And the Tigers have some other pretty good players lined up, too. So I got AL Central, probably. Minnesota wins, maybe Detroit. But I think this might be the year Cleveland slips a little bit.
Scott, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, at Scott Miller BBL, like baseball, on Twitter. I'm also on Blue Sky, the new Twitter app. Book coming out May 13th about managing called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And we're excited about that. A couple people have seen some early, we sent some copies out, the publisher did, to some early people, just a handful of early people, you know, baseball types, and the reviews from them really have us excited. The reviews were sensational. We're excited. It comes out May 13th. It's on presale now, Amazon, Target, whatever. You just Google Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matters. My name's Scott Miller, and it'll come up, and so we're happy about that.
Scott, really appreciate you, man. We'll definitely look into that, and hopefully we get to talk again as the season transpires.
Look forward to it, and real quick, I'll give you a musical request.
Oh, let's do it.
Especially for the times we're living in. How about Elvis Costello, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding?
Got it. We'll throw that in the rotation. Scott, appreciate your time, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. See you later.
Yep. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Nolan, see what you guys are saying on the text line. That's next here on The Fan. For the next couple of hours, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll take a call and get to the fun house later on in the show. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of fans kind of tough, you know, on Gary Sanchez, the new backup catcher. But if you look at the numbers, he's without a doubt one of the top backup catchers in baseball. He got seven, you know, plate appearances in the three Brewer playoff games last year. I think that obviously says a lot. And so it's an ideal backup for a guy who probably needs a little more rest. I think we all might agree. But my question is for you, Vinny. I feel like Justin Fields, I mean, here's a guy who turned down Harvard and Yale, you know, as far as so academically. I mean, the kid's got it between the ears. He's had three different offensive coordinators in 4 years. The Bears obviously were terribly run with no offensive line. Don't you think he's the kind of kid, man, if you have to spend a little extra, but if he's your backup quarterback, if T. Martin can really develop a guy, wouldn't Justin Fields be a great guy to work with?
Yeah, depending on the money. Because here's
the
thing,
call, PT.
Is, you know, when you're somewhat tight with the cap, do you want to spend, let's say you'd have to spend $10 million, and now they're paying vet minimum, let's say $2 million, and that $8 million, you know, is that paying for an offensive tackle, or is that, you know, it comes down to choices. And then when you look at how much really did Josh Johnson play last year, that's the thing. But to have a quality backup for the right price, right player, right price, but they need a better backup than Josh Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Lamar gets older and everything, I mean, knock on wood that Lamar stays healthy. But I think a quality backup would not be a bad thing. I mean, look at some of the teams and some of the backup. Who's Kansas City was Wentz.
Wentz, yeah.
Yeah, and he stinks. You know, so a lot of them don't have good backups.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Fields would be a really good backup for the Ravens. You don't get to feel like you have to change what you do offensively. He wouldn't be able to be Lamar, obviously. But, you know, if for God forbid Lamar was to go down, Fields could still run a lot of, you know, the mobile stuff that Lamar runs. He's not going to sit back there and have lead the league in passer rating or anything like that. I just wonder with Fields, what are his options?
Right.
You know, you got to take that into account.
Because if I'm his agent, Cordell, I'm not going to go be a backup to Lamar Jackson who never gets hurt.
Play.
I never get to play.
Yeah.
And this is like my prime years.
Right.
I've got to go to a situation that is better for me. I think, you know, for the Ravens backup quarterback situation, they're not going to get, you know, a young guy like that.
I would almost, if I'm Fields, like, if you're going to go be a backup, why not go to Indy and be a backup, you know, for backup Anthony Richardson,
no doubt,
who clearly can't play a whole season, and they don't even know how they really feel about Anthony Richardson. I just think those are some of the things that are going to come into play with something like that. But I do agree they need to upgrade their backup quarterback position because, God forbid, if Josh Johnson does have to go out there for a couple of games, I think you kind of know what you're getting with that. Having Henry helps, no doubt, but the job becomes a lot easier for a defense when Lamar Jackson isn't on the field, contrary to what some of the MVP
Cordell,
voters
if
think.
If I'm Justin Fields and Tennessee takes Travis Hunter and doesn't take a quarterback there, sign me up to go compete with Will Levis.
Or the Raiders, if they don't make a move, they'll probably get a rookie quarterback, but still, I'd rather back up a rookie than Lamar right now. But we'll see how that unfolds. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. The guys have been looking at some of the position groups on the team, so we'll stay on the defensive side of the ball, run through some of the defensive players. Also saw a quote from Kyle Hamilton, who was on the Mina Kimes show the other day, saying what he thinks the Ravens need or what they don't need to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. We'll talk about all that next here on The Fan.